Now, you've heard about the security approach of protect, detect, and respond. Now, today, I have the opportunity to show you this in action with the built-in Microsoft technologies, as well as in partnership with other security vendors in the industry, helping you achieve a new security posture. Now, first, let's look at password protection technology, because we know identity theft is continuing to happen at unprecedented rates. And the solution, frankly, is to move away from passwords completely. But up until now, we've had the option of smart cards or a similar kind of technology, but the user experience has been clunky, the IT complexity and the cost have proven a barrier to broad adoption of it. Well, now, with Windows 10 Passport, we actually have a great solution that gives you smart card level of security, basically two-factor authentication. And the first factor is the device itself, and the second factor is using biometrics with Windows Hello, and that can be fingerprint, facial, or iris. And it's not just a front end to your password, it's actually replacing your password completely, so it's more secure. Now here on my Surface, I've got it set up with Windows Hello for facial recognition. I'm gonna stand right in front of the machine, and it's gonna recognize me and log me in. Now it happens fast, so watch carefully. Now you saw how fast that was and so easy. It's a better user experience and it's more secure. Now, moving from identity protection with passwords, let's move into malware protection and email, because we know that email is where a lot of malware continues to come in through the organization. So luckily, with Office 365 and Outlook, we have great built-in anti-malware protection, where we're scanning over 200 billion emails a month looking for malware and malicious activity. Now, Office 365, of course, protects against known malware, but also even unknown malware, like zero-day attacks. But, of course, attackers are getting more sophisticated, and sometimes they'll have something called after the fact. It's a clean link or a clean attachment, but it's updated after the fact to be malicious. That's why we need this time of click protection. And that's where the new Office 365 Advanced Protection comes into place. With any email, I have, in this case, one from Carrie. Know this person, a trusted person. I have a number of different links. I'm going to go ahead and just click on this one link here. And what happens with Office 365, it takes that link, it puts it in what we call a detonation chamber. It does a behavioral evaluation of that link, and if it sees anything malicious or risky, it blocks the user and instead redirects to this website. This page essentially lets me know there was something malicious, and I've been protected from that happening. So I didn't, in this case, get that malware on my machine, thanks to the advanced threat protection. Now, the best part of this is a cloud service, not a client-side service, so I get the same consistent protection across all of my devices. And each time that we detect one of these type of attacks, we go ahead and update all of the malware across Office 365 so all of our customers benefit. Just one example of the different feed into the intelligent security graph that helps protect everyone better. Now, moving from email into the other primary attack vector, which is downloading apps from the web, which we know is how people can get malware on their device as well. Now, with Windows 10, we've made a generational step change with something called Device Guard. Because there's long been security for app control to protect malware by blocking unauthorized applications, that type of thing. But of course, attackers are getting more sophisticated and they can bypass those simple approaches. So now with Windows 10, we've leveraged the latest virtualization technology, as well as partnered down to the design of the hardware to stop hackers from being able to run malware, even if they've gained admin-level control on that machine. Now, to show you how this works, I'm actually going to do a compare and contrast of Windows 7 and Windows 10 with Device Guard. So first, I'll start with Windows 7. Here I have a virtual machine running. I have an app that I'm going to download, as well as my security system showing on the other side. So I'll go ahead and download that app, and I'm going to go ahead and run that piece of it, and I trust this application, so I'm going to go ahead and approve that. And you see almost instantly my security settings go down. I'm no longer protected. This machine is now owned by that malware and has admin level capabilities. Well, instead, let me compare that to Windows 10 with Device Guard. I'll go through those same simple steps, download that application, go ahead and run it. Now, with Windows 10, it actually goes and checks that the digital signature is both valid as well as signed by a trusted authority like Microsoft or your own corporate IT. And thanks to Device Guard, I'm blocked. I hear I'm notified that this is malicious and I can't move forward. And so even though I tried, it's not letting me take that step. Thanks to Device Guard, I've been protected. Now, another aspect of protection is, of course, looking at your SaaS applications. We know customers are continuing to use cloud applications like Office 365 and others, which is great, and you need to do that to stay competitive and agile. But of course, IT needs to have visibility and control about the files and the information sitting in all of those cloud applications. Now, that's where the Microsoft Cloud App Security capability comes in. It lets you discover, investigate, and protect all of the information sitting in the cloud in these SaaS applications. So let me go to my Cloud App Security dashboard. And here is where I can discover, investigate, and set policies against all of the cloud applications I'm using. Let me first go into the Discovery dashboard, where this looks across my organization. It actually looks at the network traffic to identify which cloud applications are being used. And I see that there's over 700 different apps being used across my organizations, as well as some risky ones. So let me go ahead and click in and see all of the discovered apps that are being used. And you see I have a list of everything that's possibly being used here. And if I click in, I can get a full profile view of this specific application. You see here, Office 365 is giving me a score of 10, but I really want to understand what that means. 10's great, by the way. So I go down and you see all of these attributes we have to help organizations understand the capabilities and the security profile of this cloud application. And I can even hover over and, for example, see things like in headquarters, all the different kind of sub-capabilities that we have. Now we have this level of analysis and this level of attributes across 13,000 different cloud applications out there. So we're bound to have all of the ones that you're probably using in that area, and we're continuing to add more as they come as well. So now that I have a profile of all the applications being used, I want to actually go look at what the information is in those applications. So go ahead into my Investigate, and I want to see, in this case, the files that might be sitting in all of these different SaaS apps. And here I'm getting a view of all the files across all the applications. Now, I'm really interested in just files that have been shared publicly, because people can do this on accident. So I want to make sure I'm checking for that. So switch over and just filter down to just files that are being shared publicly right now. So they're sitting in the SaaS apps for my organization, but anyone can ask them in the public domain. So let me go see what kind of controls I can apply on top of that. So I'll go into my policies. And here I have a few different policies in place. This one I'm going to look at, which is my PCI or credit card information. So essentially, I've got a policy that's looking for credit card information across all the files sitting in my SaaS applications. If I click in, it sees that it's found two files in this case that are triggered. That means two of these files have credit card information in them. And if I click in, I can get a full view of exactly the kind of document it is, as well as get a sense of where that's sitting. So in this case, the hierarchy or the parent view. And as I look, this is actually sitting in a test file for my DLP project. So this looks like probably my own security team testing to make sure the policy worked. This file looks fine. I'm going to go ahead and leave that. But this other one looks maybe like this might be something that's being shared unintended. So if I look through again, I'll go over and look at the hierarchy view. And in this case, the file it's sitting under is actually a customer file. This looks like it's actually real information with credit cards in it that I don't want being shared. So if I go back right here within the dashboard, I can take action on it. I can go ahead and make that file private. I can throw it away. I can even put that user in quarantine if I want to make sure that I stop this where it's happening. So it gives me opportunity to take remediation steps right here within the dashboard. So I've been able to discover them, understand all the files sitting across them, as well as provide data loss prevention policies within it. Again, across all of my cloud applications, great new visibility in there. Now, beyond just the SaaS applications, of course, we want to look at protection across my entire organization's identity as well. Now, with Microsoft, across both our consumer and our commercial experiences, we get over 14 billion logins a day. This gives us 10 terabytes of user identity signal every day to do analysis on. And that's really a way that you can understand what's normal behavior and what's malicious behavior. And it's really that capability that helps us be more and more targeted about exactly what's going on at the identity. So here in my Azure Identity Protection Center, a new capability in Azure, I can see different risks happening across my identity, across the organization for all of my users. And I see that I have some users that are flagged for risk as well as risky events. So let me go in and check out some of these risky events that are happening. And it's going to load across, again, all of the identities across my organization, different things that's happening. So I see that I have some users with leaked credentials, looking from sign-ins from anonymous IP addresses, things that are flagging that there might be trouble. So I'm going to go ahead and look at what sign-in risk I have enabled. And here I have different controls that I can set, like I can ask for multi-factor authentication, I can set for when you want to be blocked, those type of things. And I've turned that policy on, which is great. So I'm going to go ahead and see that in action. So I'm going to go to and sign in to my Office 365 account. And because this is coming through a normal account at a normal login, it lets me log in as expected in a normal way because that's a legitimate request into the identity system. But instead, let me switch over to a Tor browser, which is an anonymous browser. Essentially, it anonymizes me. If I click here, you can see it's sending me through multiple different locations so that I'm going to come in and try and authenticate in an anonymized way, which I've set to flag as a potential risk. Now, there's legitimate reasons to be coming in through an anonymous browser, but it's often used by hackers to do things that we don't want. So let me go ahead and show you what that looks like, because I have that policy set in my Azure Active Directory Identity Protection. And you see I'm now blocked. Again, that was that policy applied by the Azure Active Directory Identity Protection, saying this is a suspicious activity, so I'm going to go ahead and be blocked. Now, let me go back to my Identity Protection dashboard here. And let's also go look at these users that are flagged for risk. So again, different activities are looking at by user, and if there's a bunch of different activities or anomalous activities by each user, those are flagged too. So I look down and I see I have some with leaked credentials, other dangerous activities that I want to protect myself from. So let me go ahead and change this user risk here. Now I have it set for medium if there's risk for a password reset, and never to block for sign-on at all, and I have that policy turned on. So go ahead and turn that off, and then I'm going to go ahead and turn it back on again, and we will save that. Now, it's of course protecting people and identities and information on my primary devices and across the web, but also on all of the devices I want to use for work. Because increasingly, people are using mobile devices to get work done, which is a great thing. We have to make sure we have the security and control around that. Now, thankfully, with Intune that provides mobile device management, I can do that. So here I have my personal iPad, but I want to use it for work purposes. So I've gone through the steps of enrolling it with Intune, mobile device management, and I can go ahead about my work. But what's happened with that enrollment is that IT now controls the flow of email, what applications I can use, and where files and different information can go, making sure that all of it stays within the corporate domain and protected from any malicious activities. So normal use case, I'm going to go in into Outlook, and I'm logging in my password there because this is an approved application to be used with work. And here on my iPad, I have an email from Garth and I have a Word document, and I want to go ahead and open that and do some work on it. So here in my Word document, I want to make a copy and I want to collaborate with someone. So I'm going to go ahead and make a copy right here so I can get some work done with someone else. And I'll go ahead and duplicate that. In this case, I want to save it to my personal Dropbox account, and I'm going to go ahead and try that, so I'll duplicate. But I've actually been blocked in this case because I'm not allowed to take work information and put it in a personal Dropbox account. That's prohibited. So as a user, I'm blocked from that action. Absolutely makes sense. But you know, maybe I'm a real crafty user and I want to share this information anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and try and copy this. I'll go ahead and grab some text here and copy that. And I'm going to head back to Outlook and send an email with that. So I'll start a new email. And you see I'm actually in my live account, my personal information. I'm going to leave that myself in that account to show you, because when I go to paste that information that I just copied, I can't. You see there's no paste option. It's actually been blocked. Again, I'm not allowed to put work information into a personal email account. But if I switch over and instead go to my Office 365 account, my work email account, when I go to paste it this time, there in fact is that paste button and it lets me put the information in. So again, down to the data itself being able to be kept within only work accounts. But the Office experience stays the same. Of course, people use Outlook and Office for both work and for personal life, and I get that same great user experience while I'm still being directed to keep the right information in the right experiences. Now, of course, you can also have this experience with the Office applications, even if you have an existing legacy mobile device management company that you're using. You can put this in right side by side with it. It's a great, easy experience, as well as lets you get this modern experience if you still have a legacy mobile device management provider. Now, that's a lot about protection across identity, across malware, of course, across having your files and all different SaaS applications. But now let's move to detection. And that's where we're going to look into advanced threat analytics. Because again, because despite all of the best protections, identity theft unfortunately continues to be a reality. And the real way to do this is to look at normal behavior and monitor it and detect when an attack happens. Because we know, based on the industry standard, that hackers stay on the network for 200 days before detection. It's a long time to do a lot of damage. So we're looking to bring that down to immediacy rather than 200 days. And the way we do it is look at normal behavior and then understand what is normal for any one user and then what is abnormal. Very, very akin to when you get a call from your credit card company about an abnormal purchase or something that looks out of sorts, the same idea applied to identity. Now, we have this built into Azure Active Directory in the cloud, but of course, customers want this for on-premises as well, and that's where Advanced Threat Analytics comes into play. Here in my Advanced Threat Analytics dashboard, I'm getting all of this kind of real-time timeline view of what's happening across the who, what, and when of my identity system. So here I have a, looks like a view. I'm getting a kind of a medium warning that's letting me know that there's 105 attempts being taken against my system. Someone's looking for a username in my system. And as I scroll up, they were actually able to get that username, and now they're moved into looking for a password. And so this Michael Dubinsky account that they got the username, unfortunately didn't have a super strong password, wasn't using Windows Hello, and unfortunately, in 450 guesses, the password was also gotten. So now they have a username and a password into my account. And now I moved up, and you see now it's kicked to red. So now I'm getting a real-time alert that says, Michael Dubinsky wouldn't normally be accessing these machines and these systems in my organization, but now he is. Again, this might be normal from other users, but not from Michael Dubinsky. It's an anomalous behavior for him. That's why I'm getting the trigger. And as I scroll up, I can see that they've gone now to different systems and unfortunately gotten admin-level rights, and now they're moving laterally across my organization. I have that immediately in my dashboard so I can take action. Again, normally this would take 200 days to discover. Now I can find it instantly within Advanced Threat Analytics. Now, this is great from an identity protection, but of course, we want this for your whole organization as well. So that's where Azure Security Center comes in, because it looks across all of the capabilities and all of the virtual machines and systems in Azure, kind of real time, and it puts a comprehensive view of all of your security settings in one place. And it's got live monitoring. As things change within Azure, it looks at it and it's constantly monitoring it and looks policy-based recommendations to help guide you through what to do around security. So let me go ahead into the Azure Security Center, show you what that looks like. And across it, I get both alerts as well as recommendations, similar to what you've seen in other spots. So let me go ahead into these alerts and take care of those right away. If I go in, you see I'm getting a number of different alerts down here that I probably want to take care of. I'm going to go into this first one, this RDP brute force attack. And I see that I have attack coming in across a number of different machines. So if I click in, I can see right here, it's actually telling me very specifically what's happening with this virtual machine, as well as right down here, remediation steps. So I can take action immediately to stop this threat and get after it right here within the dashboard. But let me go back and look at the recommendations as well. Here I have a number of different things being suggested to me. And let me go into this prompt to secure my web application with a web application firewall, something that we should certainly have in place against this virtual machine. And as I do that, you see it's taken me right to a place where I can actually deploy a third party, a partner, a Barracuda or F5 web application firewall, because we know that a lot of customers have chosen their preferred security vendor. So we've worked with them to integrate them right within the Azure Security Center. I can provision this F5 web application firewall and protect my infrastructure right here in the Azure Security Center. Now, this is just a quick tour of a bunch of capabilities across protection, detection, and of course, response. So I showed you some examples of how it's built in, as well as how we're working with third parties and other vendors across the ecosystem to help ensure our customers are safer and have that new security posture. So with that, I'm going to hand back to Chris.